Shout out. Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, this is so amazing. This is my first time to go through Holy Week with all of you at St. Francis, and it's been a wonderful week, and I am thrilled to be standing here sharing this with you. To be able to walk through this week, one step at a time, on this pathway toward God's graces and promises. Three women. The spices. The hike to the tomb. Quiet, perhaps, each alone in her own thoughts. From a distance, the sight of the rolled away stone. Breathing changes. Hearts pound. The pace picks up. Fear begins. Eyes sharpen. They stop at the stone. They look at each other in dread. They enter the tomb slowly. The young man, the white robe, they were alarmed. The Greek is better. Struck with terror. He has been raised. He is not here. Go and tell. They fled. Terror seized them. It would seize me too, the sight. In John's Gospel, then, we hear Mary Magdalene, "I have seen the Lord." And the disciple said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Can you imagine this person, God, this son and friend, is suddenly alive, standing before you? What is there to do but shout and laugh and cry all at the same time? We know this story. We know the whole story. And we heard some of it again tonight. The magnificent story of creation. My favorite line is, "While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters." I just love that. Probably you have a favorite line also. And in Exodus we heard, "Then the prophet Miriam took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dancing." I love the celebration. We are people of this story, from creation through history, until we return to the Creator in the fulfillment of God's graces and promises. We must cling to this story and tell it again and again and again. Our stories are part of that story. The story of the day you were born. The story of that time you blurted out something inappropriate in church. The story of that time you got in really bad trouble. Or the story of a teacher or coach or friend that believed in you. The story of the car, the diploma, the performance, the trophy, the wedding, the earthquake, the ice cream debacle, the awful accident, the story of, the story of, the story of. Our heads may be filled with ideas, but where we are alive with God is in our stories. 2 weeks ago, thinking about this night, all I could think about were the bells and the lights and how much fun it would be and how exciting and the discovery together that Christ has risen, that mind-blowing, heart-exploding experience of the risen God. And I felt I just wanted to cheerlead, just to celebrate with you, and maybe bring pom-poms and a megaphone and be silly and celebrate. I wanted to share with you that something profound is now coursing through our very dry bones. We heard from Ezekiel tonight. We didn't hear the dry bones story, but probably most of you know it. And God says, "Mortal, prophesy." Don't you love that? Mortal. It makes it very clear, doesn't it, that we are not God. And there's no gender, no class, or race, or nationality. Mortal. "I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live." He is risen. Well, I didn't bring the pom-poms and the megaphone that I thought would be such fun, because God surprised me this week and took me to a different place. So instead, I brought a story. Tuesday night, here in this chapel, was the Taizé service. I was here early and helped set up the candles, and there seemed to be hundreds and hundreds of candles. And as I did, over there, Clayton was practicing the mandolin, and Jeannie sang with him, and it was so peaceful and so beautiful. And later, at the service, after I read from Matthew and sat down, the singing began again, and I started to cry. In the third row, staring ahead at the candles, I had no idea I was going to cry. I don't cry much, as a rule. And I knew these tears were a gift of the Spirit. But nonetheless, the ache was profound. And the only way I know how to describe it is to say that I felt really scared in a way that I couldn't control. I wasn't scared of danger, as if I was going to be hurt. But I was overwhelmed by something so big that it did hurt. And it took me a while to figure out that what was so overpowering was a love so big that I could hardly breathe. And with that came the most profound missing of my mother in the 20 years since she has died. Well, after the service, I couldn't move. I just sat in that third row. Paula found me, I knew she would, and prayed with me. I walked to my car, not quite up to socializing at the reception. And the air was crisp and the sky was clear with stars that you cannot see in Santa Monica, where I live. And as I drove home, I knew I was in the middle of something very, very real. A stirring, a cracking open. Slowly I was moving from dark to light. A real thing, fully felt, real in my body, beyond idea. I was having a resurrection experience. Not a big one, like the times in my life when I realized later that God has rescued me and lifted me up. But a small one, deeply felt, gratefully accepted. I am being remade. I am being led into a new life, and it is very scary, but it is alive and very, very real. We need to tell the resurrection story of Jesus, and we need to celebrate the marvel and laugh at the wonder of it. But we need to tell our own resurrection stories too, because Jesus gave them to us. We need to tell the realness of them, the pivot points, the rescued moments, the flood of generosity or gratitude, where we know that God has raised us up and is bringing us to new life, sometimes kicking and screaming, but to new life nonetheless. Well, now I'm sorry I didn't bring the pom-poms and the megaphone, because I feel like cheering again. So let us cheer one another on. Let us tell the stories of Jesus in our lives, even if we cry a little. And let us listen hard to one another as we tell our truths. This night, this special night, we celebrate and contemplate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of God's inbreaking into the world for us. Let us be full of hope in our new lives. Not because St. Augustine says so, not because Thomas Aquinas says so, or Buechner or Bonhoeffer or Brueggemann say so, but because Kathy says so, and Mark says so, and Blair says so, and Jill says so. In the stories they tell, in the lives they live, and the lives we all live, resurrected in Jesus Christ. The Lord is risen. Lord, amen.